Welcome back to Mental Health Matters with Dr. Scott Terry. You're listening to KRUU Radio 100.1 FM on your radio dial from Fairfield, Iowa, solar-powered radio. Scott Terry is out of town, and this is Rob Hubler, and I'll be doing this interview. And we have two wonderful guests in the studio with us today. First is Kathleen Casey, who is co-chair of Fairfield Cares, the Suicide Prevention Coalition here in Fairfield, and Brian Simmons, who specializes in Ottumwa and Fairfield in addiction and substance abuse, along with grief issues, relationship issues, and marriage issues, children and family issues. Thank you very much for both being here. Brian is our feature speaker at an event that will be happening on September 10th at the Fairfield Public Library. And it is an event sponsored by Fairfield Cares. And like I said, Kathleen is the co-chair of Fairfield Cares. I, by the way, am the other co-chair. So you have the whole group here. Kathleen, can you tell us a little bit about the event at the library?
Yes, first of all, hello everybody. I'm glad to be here on such a hot day. So last year, to be specific, September 7th, it took about 3 months to really develop this event, which we had. And we acknowledged suicide. We had 4 suicides in Jefferson County, and we had 3 more deaths, which were related to drug dependency. So it was pretty tough summer, but we kind of ended it with people coming out of the woodwork to our event, really interested in sharing and having some support in this area. So we're doing it again this summer. September 10th, less than a week, from 7 to 9:15 at the public library. I think Rob just said that. You're all of you are totally invited to come, and we will talk about suicide, how it intertwines with substance abuse and addiction. So, Brian, take it away.
Well, just a minute. Let me tell you a little bit more about the event. Okay. 7 o'clock. There's going to be a video, which is an excellent video that kind of outlines how substance abuse and suicide, as Kathleen said, intertwines. And the title of that is Bridging Addiction and Suicide, and it's given by a man named Raymond Dalton, who is a certified advanced alcohol and drug counselor. And it is an outstanding video that just kind of really pulls it together in layman languages and is very understandable. And then starting at 7:30, we'll have some introductory remarks by Kathleen and by myself and by Mayor Ed Malloy. And then Brian will be our feature speaker. And following that, there will be a panel that is made up of, again, Kathleen, myself, Ed, Brian, a representative of the Jefferson County Law Enforcement facility, and one other person or not? Oh, and Scott Terry, as a matter of fact, Dr. Scott Terry. And we will have question and answer for 45 minutes or more, depending upon the beginning. And that's really the emphasis that we want to put on this, because we want people here in Fairfield and Jefferson County to be there and to ask their questions and to really get a handle on what is the problem here with substance abuse and what are our challenges with suicide. And we found that this kind of back and forth communication is a far greater way of really finding out what's going on in the community. So again, as Kathleen said, you know, everyone is welcome, and please come on down. If you have any other questions, by the way, you can contact Kathleen at 641
226-5300.
Yeah, that's the Fairfield Cares Suicide Alliance. Now, to just begin this program, I'd like to just quote briefly from an article that was in the Psychology Today. It just kind of outlines what nationally the problems with substance abuse and with suicide. Suicide is the 10th leading cause of death in the United States. Depression and other mood disorders are the number one risk factor for suicide, but alcohol and drug abuse are close second. In fact, research has shown that the strongest predictor of suicide is alcoholism, not psychiatric diagnosis. People with substance use disorder are about 6 times more likely to commit suicide than the general population. According to studies, over 50% of all suicides are associated with alcohol and drug dependency. And this is startling, and at least 25% of alcoholics and drug addicts commit suicide. Over 70% of adolescent suicides may be complicated by drug and alcohol use and dependency. Because alcoholism and drug addiction are leading risk factors for suicide behavior and suicide, any alcoholic or drug addict should be assessed for suicide, especially if they are actively using alcohol or drugs. And just to add, I'm Rob Hubler, and I don't know if you introduced myself in the beginning, but I am a 32-year recovering alcoholic and substance abuser, and I also am a survivor of a suicide attempt. So this is my personal reason why I'm involved in this, and my family is 2 suicides in the family also. So with that, I'd like to get into talking to Brian. Brian, can you tell us a little bit about yourself?
Yeah, thank you, Rob. Well, I'd just like to say that I grew up in Fairfield. I went to Fairfield schools. Not a lot of exciting things in my childhood, nothing really out of the ordinary to predict that I would get involved in alcohol and drugs, but I did get involved with that through my 20s. Eventually, I did get into a inpatient rehabilitation and kind of redirected my life. So I don't have as many years in sobriety as Rob does, but I have quite a few as well, over 20 years as well.
That's good. You're just smarter than I was.
It's influenced my direction in my life, and when I went back to college, I had that interest then in mental health and substance abuse, and currently I have a master's degree from Iowa, and I do mental health counseling. And then I also have a advanced certification in substance abuse, so I do that kind of work as well. It also influenced the jobs I've held. I've worked at 2 different inpatient units, including the mental health center in Mount Pleasant that's closed now, a couple of outpatient agencies, including CETA. I've worked at several mental health agencies, Ottumwa Hospital, and currently I'm working at River Hills in Ottumwa. I'm a clinical supervisor there. We have some telepsych services and about 5 other therapists as well. So I really enjoy working with people. I'm not really a researcher, a statistician. I'm really a hands-on, dealing with the people kind of person. I enjoy that. I love hearing their stories. Sometimes those aren't always all cheery. I'm not really any kind of an expert on suicide, and luckily I haven't had a lot of involvement with that. It's been more the addiction stuff in my own life and with some of my own relatives. So this has really been an eye-opening thing. Some of the statistics Rob was talking about and some others that I have come across have really opened my eyes and have really been interesting for me, and I'm looking forward to sharing some of that information next Thursday night.
Hey, that's great. Thank you much, Brian. You are listening to Mental Health Matters on KRUU Radio 100.1 FM in Fairfield, Iowa. Solar-powered radio, one of the greatest cities in Fairfield. Earlier, before we got on air, Kathleen, you and I and Brian were talking about specifically addiction and abuse and what the difference of them are. Would you like to comment on that for a minute and ask Brian?
Yes. Actually, people use chemicals socially. If the next step is chemical abuse. So if you think about your use out there using, if it gets to be more than social and you find that you are abusing the drug to get some result, that's not a good thing. The problem lies that there is a fine line, invisible line, between abuse and addiction. And that's where it gets real dangerous, because if you go into the addiction, you don't know, because you're in denial. So if people are giving you feedback and you have excuses for it, and you're saying to the person, well, you're crazy, you know, and you give all kinds of reasons for your use, then that's not a good thing. That's a sign. That's a red signal. So to be aware that people, when people do complain, that you got to take them seriously. So that's social use, abuse, and addiction.
Do you have any comments on that, Brian?
I think in layman's terms, that was a very good description. The DSM and the ASAM manual both refer to patterns of continued use even after there's been severe consequences. And I think that's something that affects everybody is when we start to see consequences, a normal person will change their habits. But someone with addiction and varying levels will continue to use, make excuses, try to find ways to get around the consequences rather than changing those behaviors.
And Brian, in your work in both here in Fairfield and in Ottumwa, what kind of opportunities or facilities are available in Ottumwa to deal with this issue of substance abuse?
Well, it depends on how you look at it. I, in some ways, we're lucky in Ottumwa. We have a lot of resources, but partly that's because there is a lot of addiction issues in Ottumwa. There's a couple of different agencies. CEDA's main office is in Ottumwa. They have quite a few counselors there. They're an outpatient agency. First Resources offers outpatient treatment in Ottumwa as well. I've also been involved in Family Treatment Court, which is driven by DHS. They have a great Judge Owens who's involved with that and donates a lot of his own time. That's to help people get their kids back, but it's also when there's been drugs involved. There's also an adult drug court that's driven more by the correction system. Judge Daly is a great guy. He's involved with that. And the consequences there are more criminal-based, where people may go back to prison, but they have a chance and through the drug court system to kind of change some of their habits and get some help through that system.
Is that a system that is totally controlled by corrections? Or it can, is the community, is it available to the community that... if you have an individual in the community that needs to help and's not getting it, can you get into drug court? I mean, I'm just not that familiar with drug courts.
Yeah, Rob. Unfortunately, because of a lot of cutbacks in the state, the adult drug court has suffered recently. You do have to be involved in the correction system. It's typically people coming out of prison or trying to avoid prison. Oftentimes, they're at the correctional facility there in Ottumwa. There's a the Ottumwa Residential Facility Halfway House, and then the Family Treatment Court, like I said, that's more DHS-driven, so people have to have a china and be looking at losing their kids or they've lost their kids, so they have that motivation to go through those resources. The Family Treatment Court has gotten quite a bit of of aid through different grants from the state, but they've been suffering as well. The local drug court has gotten several extra grants. They've been one of the most productive drug courts in the state. Actually, the last I knew, they had more clients in their drug court than any other drug court in the state. And there are quite a few, just many of them are not near as successful, and the funding is always difficult. Our drug court in Ottumwa, they do a lot of fundraisers. They do a lot of things to raise money and raise awareness. There's a recovery rally the 27th of this month at Jimmy Jones Shelter, 1 to 4 in the afternoon. That's funded by the different agencies and also drug court. So there's a lot of things going on in Ottumwa that we may not have in Fairfield.
Is the event that's coming up, that's interesting. Can you say a little bit more about the event in Ottumwa for the drug court?
Yeah, it's a recovery rally. I believe this is possibly the fourth year, because it is the family treatment court and it's DHS driven. It's focused a lot on kids. There'll be jumping gyms and inflatable houses and stuff like that. There's prizes. There's food. I don't believe there's any real qualifications if you've been involved in any kind of recovery. I think it's open to the public. It's just really a fun family event. I think it helps to reduce the stigma around recovery and using, and open it up to the community. There's a lot less stigma in the Wapello County area than what we see possibly in Fairfield and Jefferson County.
Since we're here in Fairfield, and this is KRUU Radio, we have to put that in every now and then. This is KRUU Radio, 100.1 FM on the radio dial in Fairfield, Iowa. And it's not a program about Ottumwa, but being active in, and both Kathleen and I and others active here in Fairfield, we're constantly looking for options as to things that we can be doing here in Fairfield to address the issue of substance abuse, particularly. There's a AA group in Ottumwa has a house, right, or an office or a building.
Yes, Rob. There's the Camel Club group in southern Ottumwa. There's meetings there about every day. It's one of the few places like that in our area. I know Fairfield AA and NA groups usually operate out of churches, and they just have certain meeting times, where the Camel Club in Ottumwa, it's a Alano club. They own their own building, and people can go there practically 24 hours a day.
And I preface this question by saying that this is asking for a judgment, and therefore an alternative of saying I can't answer that is an alternative. But how would you assess the drug culture or the substance abuse culture in Ottumwa as compared to in Fairfield?
Well, that's a pretty difficult question, Rob. You're right.
That's what I said. I wouldn't have an answer, but go ahead.
Yeah, that's pretty tough. And I don't, you know, the population is different, and the economy is different. You know, it seems like per capita there's more drug use in Wapello County. I don't know if that's really the case. There's certainly a higher population there, so maybe that's really the only difference. And also, maybe it's just not as hidden. I think it is more out in the open. People know about it. Those kinds of things are a little more published, possibly, in Ottumwa. And like I said, there's a lot more 12-step meetings and treatment and drug court stuff. So I think it's a little more well-known, the kind of activities that are going on there. And if it is going on in Jefferson County, it's not as obvious.
Okay, so I'd like to add something. This disease is a family disease. It affects the whole family. It affects, if you have a friend, it'll affect you. It affects our society. And And if you don't really understand what you're dealing with, then it becomes very confusing. I personally, many years ago, 35 years ago, went to someone, an agency in St. Paul, Minnesota, and they did an assessment. And my question was my husband an alcoholic? He was 35, I was a little bit younger. And they asked me 20 questions, and they were all about how I felt when he had certain behaviors. And actually, I had 20 yeses, and they told me that if I had 5 yeses, he was an alcoholic, that I should go to a recovery program. So I started to go to Al-Anon. And my thought was, why do I have to go to a recovery program when he has the problem? Well, I've been in this program now for 35 years, and what I've learned now is that how I conduct my life is totally going to have an effect on the alcoholic, drug addict. And if I can improve my life, if you're living with somebody or have a friend who's got this disease, and you take your attention off that person, and you improve the quality of your life, and don't blame them, but stand up for yourself and be assertive, and then what happens is that you gain more confidence in yourself, you have higher self-esteem, and it certainly helped me.
That's great. And you know, along with that, part of what I'm going to say at the September 10th event at the public library is talking about the stigmatization of addicts, of drug abusers, and that from a twofold. One of them is, very briefly, I was in a meeting the other night with a whole lot of people that were very, very concerned about the issue and talking about the issue, and the overtone of the meeting was, most sentences were predicated by they create collateral damage, they destroy families, they hurt the environment, they do, and the they word just really really disturbed something inside of me, because I am the they. And so, you know, there's a man named William Moyers, who is Bill Moyers' son, and he works with
Hazelton Betty Ford Foundation in St. Paul, Minnesota.
Right, and he's got a great YouTube up about his journey with crack cocaine and a number of other things and several relapses and stuff, but, you know, doing absolutely wonderful now and vice president and one of the emphasis of it is the destigmatization, the taking away of the they in the conversation. Brian, I just want to ask, do you feel that or see that in your work?
Well, Rob, I was still thinking about what Kathleen had said, actually, and talking about Al-Anon, and I think just to follow up on her statement, you know, Al-Anon was very important in my early recovery, and family members being involved was very helpful to me. I had a mother and a wife in Al-Anon early on, and that was very beneficial. And you're right, when the family changes, that changes the atmosphere for the alcoholic or drug addict, and it forces change on them as well. You know, we can't control other people, but we can change some situations, so maybe we're not enabling them as well. So, and like what you're saying, Rob, I think, I think a lot of times that's a problem. People draw sides and they say, you know, well, we're over here, and then the people causing a problem are over there. They cause their problem. They're an alcoholic or an addict. They need to take care of it. We don't want to fund them or whatever. And it is kind of gets to be black and white. It's us and them. And it's not really like that. You know, alcoholism, drug abuse is a societal problem. It affects everybody. And it's huge. The expense is huge to society of what drug abuse and alcohol abuse causes. And it's not just us and them. We may see somebody ruining their life, but, you know, it's ruining a lot more than just that. It's ruining children and education and other things. And so I think we all have to look at it and work on these things together. And you're right, get away from that they attitude.
Yeah. I'd like to point out that in the studio is Kathleen Casey, who is a co-chair of Fairfield Cares, and Brian Simmons, who is a substance abuse therapist here in Fairfield and Ottumwa. And, in kind of follow-up to what I was saying is that having introduced myself thousands of times over the last years in AA meetings, I am somewhat critical that AA seems to have a resistance to standing up outside of the AA meeting and saying, I am an alcoholic, and I am a productive member of this community now, and again trying to destigmatize the whole thing away from they. We are all in it. You're right. The family is in it. The whole community of Fairfield and Ottumwa is in it. Again, this is KRUU Radio, 100.1 FM on the radio. This show is Mental Health Matters, Dr. Scott Terry's show, and we are very close to out of time. Would you like to have a closing statement, Kathleen?
Well, I'm so glad I was here today sharing my story and listening to Brian and Rob. And, you know, we all have this disease. All of us have this. We're all working on our own recovery here. And it's a lifelong process. So I'm really happy that I'm here.
Thank you very much, Brian.
Yeah. Rob, I would just kind of wrap up by saying, you know, I've been involved in AA, Alcoholics Anonymous, and NA, Narcotics Anonymous for many years. It's been very helpful to me. I think sometimes people don't speak up and admit that. It kind of comes from those traditions and the fear that if somebody says, I'm an alcoholic or an addict involved in those organizations, and then if something happens, you know, it might look bad on the organization. So, you know, I stand up and I say, you know, I am a recovering addict or alcoholic, but I don't want to put myself in a position of saying I am, you know, the local chairperson of AA or NA. So,
right.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Thank you very much. Again, this is Mental Health Matters. The event is at the Fairfield Public Library, September 10th, and it is at 7 o'clock, a video, and the program starts at 7:30. And since I'm one of the people that's going to be participating in that, we will be ending at 9:15 in the evening. Thanks so very much. Good night.